resurrection lays inside of you in your spirit. I know when Jesus died on the cross, his soul descended into hell and preached to the souls that were in prison, that repented not the long suffering days of Noah. His body went into the grave. But before he died, he committed his spirit into the hands of God. Into thy hands commend my spirit. So you see, his spirit went to God, his soul went to hell, his body went to the grave. Now, that spirit that was in him was the spirit of God. That spirit in sundry times and divers manners anointed the prophets to bring the message to the people. In the last days through Christ, now in these days here, through the gospel. Now, when we receive Christ into our heart, there's all that we have need of. There's eternal life. Now, Christ could not come back until 3 days was fulfilled, because his spirit was behind a screen, like a bar, like this, that he could not cross over that bar, because it was the spoken word of God that he was to lay in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Now, he could not come back until that 3 days and nights was up. Then when 3 days and nights was up, his spirit was loosed. It went directly to his soul, and his soul came back and picked up the body and fulfilled what he said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up.
Amen.
I have power. Now, each one of you have power the same way, because you are sons and daughters of God. And the very spirit that's in you this morning, the Holy Spirit that's in you this morning, that same Holy Spirit will raise you up. So you have power to raise yourself back up. When you die, your soul will go into under the altar of God, not in the presence of God. Now your spirit will go to God, but you cannot come back. Remember the Bible said the spirit and souls are on the altar crying, Lord, how long, how long? And I could not return until the Scripture is fulfilled. Like Christ cannot return until the Scripture is fulfilled. Then after all has been done, all the suffering's over, and the brother has suffered the same things, or we've suffered like they suffered, and so forth, then on that day, you'll know exactly where you're buried. Your spirit will be turned loose from God, and will come to the soul. Now the soul is that part of you who knows and understands your intelligence. You remember the vision I had not long ago, or the little translation, went into that place and saw those people?
Amen.
Now your spirit will come back to that body, and that kind of a body, the soul, which is the body that does not have to eat and so forth. This earthly tabernacle will be dissolved. We have one already waiting. A celestial body. And with that spirit and that soul and celestial body, you'll raise up again this natural body, that great millennium. You have the power in you now to do that. Now, but that power that you have in you now could make a new world. God doesn't have little weak spots and big heavy spots that's powerful. The least little touch of God is omnipotent.
Amen.
See? The least little touch of God. So you know, so I'm trying to get you in faith now. You know that something has happened to you as a Christian. Do you know it?
Amen.
You used to ride down here in the muck with all of the muck and sin and drinking and gambling and things of the world. Well, as soon as you believe that Christ forgave your sins, you raise up above that stuff.
Amen.
Now you're riding up here, above all of it. Why? Because that you believe that you are a Christian. Then when you accepted Christ and the Holy Spirit came to you, then you had faith in the Holy Spirit that gives you power to ride above that kind of a life of sin. Well, the only thing you have to do to ride higher into healing is have more faith.
Amen.
Just keep pushing it out. See, and there you are. Now you're sick and you're not a Christian. Become a Christian right now so that healing power will come in you by becoming a Christian. And that will give you faith to ride above sin. It will give you faith in everything that you have need of in this journey is right in you now. And the only thing you have to do is have faith in God that pushes that good things out of you, which is you by the Holy Spirit. You understand clearly now? You got a Billy told me last night, called me and said, come in this morning, especially for one person to I'm thinking we're having services this week of those seven seals, and they brought a sick child, I think. And if you're here now, sir, remember, you cannot, your faith will have to go for that child if it's a little infant child. Well, now, let me take another scripture, if it's all right.
All right, Brother.
Just remember, now in the gospel, we read over in the 16th chapter, I believe, of the Acts, where that Paul and Silas was in prison one night. And they've been beaten because they cast the devil's spirit out of a fortune-telling girl. And it was, and she, her masters, had got angry about it and beaten them, put them in prison. And then when they did that, well, Paul and Silas was praying, and God sent an earthquake and shut the jail down. The Philippian jailer, being centurion, which to lose his prisoners was to be his own life, to have to pay for the prisoners. He pulled his sword and was going to commit suicide when Paul ran forth and said, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here." And this centurion had saved some impression they had about Paul and them. They might have sung hymns, they might have testified or done something. But whatever it was, they know that they were a holy man. They know there was something different about those men because quickly he asked, "What must I do to be saved?"
Amen.
"What must I do to be saved?" Now Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And thy house shall be saved. Well, now, if believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that don't mean that his salvation would save the house, but if he's got the faith in God for his own salvation, he has the same faith for his house. And his house will have to come in.
Yeah.
The same thing. Same as Job did, as I said the other night down in Georgia at a meeting. I said, "Job," he said, "now, I don't know if my children have sinned. But what if they have sinned?" And Job had one thing to do to be righteous, that was offer a burnt offering. He said he would offer the burnt offering. If his children had sinned, then they would be forgiven of their sin. And if it's a good thing, his father does, that's a good thing, his father. We need more of those kind of fathers today. And Job offered the burnt offering. That before his tragedy set in. But when his children was all killed, and his sheep all destroyed, and all he had taken, he was sitting on the ash sheet in back of his house, scraping himself with a piece of crop. Did you notice? After the days of his tragedy, when God began to restore to him again, where he had 10,000 cattle or so forth, he restored double his sheep and double his things. But you notice, and God also gave Job his seven children. You ever think where they were at? That burnt offering stood for them.
Amen.
They were saved in glory, waiting for him to come. He's with them today. And now my house shall be saved. See? Now Job had one thing to do to be righteous, was to offer the burnt offering. You have one thing to do to be a righteous, that have faith in God.
Amen.
For by faith are you saved. By faith are you healed.
Amen.
By faith you get everything that you have.
Yeah.
It's by faith that you believe. Now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thy house shall be saved. Now, sir, if you got the baby here to be prayed for, you believe yourself. I'm here to put my faith with yours. And we'll believe together that God will heal that baby.
Amen.
We got in us the power to do that.
Amen.
You've got in you the power to do it. Every Christian's got the power to do it. But now, if we could just get that power controlled by law, as I've often said, it's like a gravitation controls water. Because of the law of gravitation, it controls water. The sun is controlled by the earth, the turn of the earth. You can't just make the sun do one thing. Let's stop. It won't sleep for longer. Hold on an hour. It won't do it. See? Because there's a law. If you'll work according to that law, well, then everything will be all right. If you go to bed at night, you can wake up at night. And if you, like we got the Lake Superior, Lake Ontario, Lake Huron, all those great lakes up here, we got tens of thousands, times thousands of acres of ground out in Nevada and California and Arizona and New Mexico. That's burning up for that water. A land that could raise anything, you could feed the whole world out there. If you only had this water up here, down there. And it wouldn't bother that because it's a spring bed. As soon as it goes down, it comes up just level again because gravitation holds it there. Well, now, if you can work a part of the law of gravitation, you can take all these great lakes and water the whole country on earth and feed the whole world. Nobody would be hungry. But you can't sit there and say, yeah, I see it, sure. You've got to go do it. Well, that's the same way it is by the law of God. The law of God is faith. And we got to faith here this morning to heal any sickness, to do anything.
Amen.
But it's controlled by law, and that law is faith. God's law is faith. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, if you can believe you receive it, you can have it.
Amen.
So it's a faith that controls it. And faith is given to us just as we have need of. Now we have to God lost some faith, some another faith. It isn't some great supernatural power that you have, because when you become a Christian, you already have the power. But you lack faith in operating that power.
Amen.
Well, now this morning when you come to be prayed for, remember the Bible has said this. This is true. James 5:14. If there be any among you sick, let them call the elders of the church, let them anoint them and all pray over. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and God shall raise him up. Promise.
Amen.
You'll believe it. Therefore, see, healing is allotted to the individual. It was the days of Jesus of Nazareth. He cannot heal people against their own faith. He said, I can if you believe. If you believe that I'm able to do this, I can do it.
Yeah.
If you can believe it. So some people throw the power of healing into some other advantages. It's not that. The power of healing is in you.
Amen.
It's in you. They just put the cart before the horse. The advantages of that power to heal, if the Holy Spirit has the power to heal, you have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's the little tree that you are. And all the things that you have need of is in you. So therefore, you just start drinking from God's promise that it's the truth. God said, heal me. By his stripes, I am healed. There you are. What do you do? You start pushing out of it. And then others can see what you have. Now, what is faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Now, I set that little tree out. I don't see the apples. But they're in there. That little tree knows they're in there. So he just started drinking. Pushing, because he goes, it's in me. I'll get it out there after a while. Give me a little time. Just keep me a little time. He just keeps drinking. I know the apples are in me. I'll bring it up after a while. And the first thing, oh, here they come. Here comes the apples because he believes that they're in
me. Amen.
And if you believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is in you to heal you,
amen.
There they are. Just keep pushing. See? You have faith. You can't see the result right away. You don't see it. Now, see? James justified Abraham by his works. Paul justified Abraham by his faith. What do we say then between the two? Abraham was speaking on what, Paul was speaking on what God saw in Abraham. And James is speaking on what people saw in Abraham. See? Now, see, therefore God knows that before the baby come that Abraham had faith, and Abraham proved it to God by acting like him that the baby was going to come when he was sterile. He had no children. His wife's womb was dead, and he was sterile. But yet he knew in there somewhere was the baby.
Yeah.
You see, he kept drinking the promise. Leaning on God's great El Shaddai, the breath. Leaning there, drinking, knowing that God would give him. Know that it is a promise that he had to do it. And we're the children of Abraham, so let's lean on to his promise and hold there, knowing that God will do it. You believe it now?
Amen.
Then let the sick line up over here on one of the sides, the other, it wants to be prayed for. And if we get the elder here and anoint them and oil, I'll pray over them and we'll believe it. God will make every one of them well, if thou canst believe. Tell me where you at. Come around on this right hand side. That's good. And I want you to play only believe. While they're coming, let's just bow our heads to rest the audience. Let's be in prayer for these people who are coming. Our Heavenly Father, we bring to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ these poor, sick, suffering humanity that's in a terrible, disastrous condition. I believe you. I know that your words are true. They are so true. They cannot fail because they are God's eternal and everlasting word. They are all powerful like God is because they are a part of you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. believe that part with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all that's inside of us, we believe it. Now try in a simple, childlike way to present it to the people that they might understand and know that the power of God's faith is in them. They can only have their faith and follow God's order. That's how they were saved. They come and repented of their sins and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the Bible of Acts 2. And then Peter said that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And here it comes. Just as that is, because it's God's Word made manifest. Well, now the same thing, Father, we know is true when we are not the sick with our arm and pray over the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Yes.
God shall raise them up.
Thank
God made each one lead us all around this place this morning. So happy and rejoicing in knowing that God is here.
Amen.
Lord, be made well. For we commit them to thee now. In the name of Jesus Christ, may each one be healed and kept the vision. What it means, like Abraham, call those things which are not as though they were.
Amen.
No matter what the result is, that has nothing to do with faith.
Hallelujah.
The result is nothing. Faith is already come to hold. And faith is the substance of things
so far.
And the evidence Jesus has not seen. Well, let's make it sink deep in their heart for their need. I go as your humble servant to stand here along with other servants and praise God and put in our heart for these sick people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said Brother Ethel Beaver was in the building. Now, if there's another minute over here today in prayer this morning, we would like to ask all the ministers here what we are. You can come up here and stand around the door for a second. Come out and stand around here around the altar so we can have prayer of these people making us on that. As you play the song and the ministers are taking your place here, so we each one as they can. Let's see coming down across the mountain. I see a man coming, wasn't any different from many other men. He's just an ordinary man. Kind of small in body, rather frail. As we see, look his eyes down upon a scene taking place down in the valley. It was in the apostles. They had a boy down there that had epilepsy. No doubt what they were saying, he ain't Lord, he. But you see, just saying he ain't Lord, he ain't going to do it. That just won't do it. There's got to be something behind that he ain't Lord, he. And if I can get you to believe that, and believe that with all your heart, you're going to be healed. If I can get you to read it, I'll look at those signs that maybe shaking, maybe pushing, or believe it, brother, believe it, hallelujah, believe it, healing or healing. But the devil stayed right there because he could find that faith there and maybe believe. But here comes one down across the hill. And as soon as that devil recognized that was a little different than the other man. Now that's the kind of man you are. Just all the time. such a thing as an action, they raise and come forward. And another thing is how they react on that action that they have made. After they have come to the place to believe that when you're prayed for, they'll be healed, then watch the reaction of their action. Now, our pastor's got a good message for us from here this morning. One thing I'd like to comment on is the note of the Catholic girl standing on the altar. A few days ago, she was in my house, her and her husband. And I didn't know her husband for some time. There was something about while we were sitting on a private interview. That's where we had the vision. That's where we used to have it here in church, but didn't take up the morning and so forth. And so it was an honor to that because she being a girl, another thing always reared in the Catholic Church and so forth. But she went to speak for her mother. And during that time, I saw a vision of her mother. Told her what her mother's trouble was and described her and how her mother looked. Of course, she was judged that way, but right in my eyes. I've never seen a mother in my life, she knows that. And the girl this morning came to the altar here and stood to make a confession and accept Christ as her Savior. She did that at all this morning. Anointing her aura, how God works. Anointing her aura, or sick. But what's the moving of the Holy Spirit? Now, being she was anointed, really not sick, but anointed. See how it makes everything work right. She stood as a Christian now. After she has become a what we believe to be a Christian. Now she says, would you pray for my mother? She's sick. That's the same one. So the normal all is applied and read on the power of her that see someone being just saved, Christ stood for all of us. He stands for all. And as soon as this girl becomes a Christian, then she's going to stand in the heart too. Showing that the Spirit of Christ comes within us when we are really saved. Now that's really fine. I certainly appreciate that fine Christian spirit. I believe. Now just remember, now to this young lady, she's here somewhere, and to another Catholic lady that came by, and I'd like to say these words just before I turn the service to her. Is this. Now, the Catholic Church was one time like this church. If you go back and read the Bible, which we believe and do know that the Catholic Church was the first church. That is true. But it got away from its teaching. This was the teaching of the Catholic Church. But you see, they got 600 and some other books that popes and so forth has written. If this is holy to them, it's this Bible. So see, what this is, you haven't changed. What you've done is you've just been converted. See? Now, if you take, of course, I guess maybe some of you, there are two this morning, there's women, there might be some Catholic man sitting here. If you go back to the history of the church, if you might ask your priest, the action of these apostles in the Bible here, was that the way that, was that early Catholic? They'll say, yes, and that's true. They were. Now, they look what kind of religion they had. They met in little simple places. They never said Hail Mary or Our Father. That's a tradition of the church. What did they say? They praised God. They screamed. They cried. Look here in Acts 2 when the holy apostles Peter and James and John all were together. The Bible said they spoke in tongues. And they screamed and even act so filled with the Spirit until they act like they were drunk. And even the outside world asked, are not all these drunks? And then Peter, the apostle, the holy Saint Peter, when he stood up and he said, men and brethren, these men are not drunk, but they're filled with the Spirit as the Bible says they were. Now that was the early Catholic Church, according to the teaching. Now you see, after about 200 years, the dignified began to get into the church. Then what they do, they made their first organization at the Nicene Council in 8606. They made when the Nicene Council was held at Nicene Rome. They began to get all the great dignitaries in, and they just formed a church, and made a church. And that broke four or five times. And then you went from that to the bishop, from the bishop to a pope, and from that to come the Greek Orthodox and different ones till they just broke up before you see it today. It's just an all kind of breakup. But what you're trying to do, my Catholic friend, we are Catholic too. We are the early beginning Catholic. In the church that they call us now mostly, we're referred to as Pentecostal because we believe in the Pentecostal. in our organizations of Pentecost today, if any of this world would stand 500 years longer, this Pentecostal organization would be more formal than the Roman Catholic Church is today. It's just getting farther away, same way. And when you organize, you get a lodge out of it. And then you just become lodging members and unconverted souls. To my precious dear brothers and sisters, to all of you, as a servant of God, I never said before in the word, in this church, I never said, but as a prophet of the Lord, I say to you, this is the life. Walk ye in.
Amen. Hallelujah.